I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Give me one shot here on a blue chip stock. Believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back. The Wolves of Ball Street, your favorite draft analyst. It's the Draft Act NBA Draft Show. My name is Corey Tulliba, and I am here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, what's going on, man?
A lot's going on, but I am just glad to be here. It's a Sunday morning, which is weird for us. We never record on a Sunday, but look, here's the thing. When you have a special guest that agrees to join the pod, you got to make adjustments. Got to be flexible. Yeah. So I'm coming off of one of my close friends' birthday parties last night, and I'm not 100%. But hey, this is where I need to be right now. So it feels great. And I'll stop talking and let's intro our new special guest, Corey.
Yeah, it's a little bit rougher for you. I'm in New York, so it's almost 1 o'clock for me. You got that late night, early morning. But you're right, we do have a very special guest. And I'm going to intro him in kind of the way that we intro our normal shows. And then we're going to bring him in. So today we are going to be covering and talking to UCLA wing Jalen Clark, 21 years old, listed at 6'5", 205. And Jalen, you can correct us in a minute if with anything that's incorrect. You are currently averaging 13.4 points per game, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.4 turnovers, 2.7 steals.
Yeah.
0.3 blocks. That's 3 stocks, ladies and gentlemen. Shooting 48% from the field, 33% from the three-point line, 71.4% from the free throw line. Efficient true shooting percentage of 57% and a box score plus minus of 12.
Oh,
that's tasty. That's tasty. Good. So, Jalen, thanks for joining the Draft Act, man. We're really excited to have you. So, anything wrong with those measurements? 6'5", 205. You put on any weight?
That's what I said. I fluctuate from at the beginning of the year. I was 213, and then you know, as the year goes, you kind of.
Yeah.
With your weight, if you know what I mean. So yeah. I'm probably closer to 205 now. So that's probably like pretty close.
I couldn't find a reported wingspan. Do you know what your wingspan is?
Nah. We haven't tested it. I mean,
I know it seems positive because you could see that length.
It's definitely positive. I know that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So entering this year, you know, you were kind of unranked on draft boards. And now you have due to your play this season, have not only become a draft prospect, but you have, become a legitimate first round draft prospect. So for somebody who's not familiar with you as a player, how would you describe your game?
Very high intensity. I feel like the biggest thing is I capitalize off other people's mistakes. So defensively is what gets me going. Offensively, it's kind of been a little up and down recently, but that's just because the way I play, if you know what I mean. I don't need offense ran for me. I kind of just get it as it comes, if you know what I mean. So I would say just if you watch me play, you're going to see a high intensity. You're going to see me flying around. You're going to see me doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff on defense. Probably a little too much. I get caught gambling sometimes and it bites me, if you know what I mean. But I've earned that freedom from my coach, If somebody's hot, normally I'm gonna get put on them, take your best, your favorite player out the game. And I feel like that's really what's gonna propel me to the next level. The offensive side, I got stuff to work on. I gotta learn how to like finish my shots, use the backboard, get off too. Because like right now, some of the stuff I was hitting in the beginning of the season ain't falling at the same rate that it was. So I gotta learn how to adjust. Some of that may be due to hitting like a little wall. I was doing that at a ridiculous rate at the beginning of the year, like ridiculous. And if you watch my seasons before, I wasn't playing like this at all, if you know what I mean. So, and the wear and tear and also the mental dynamic of all this, like this is a lot. Like, this is every kid's dream, if you know what I mean. And this is only in the first round, what is it, 30 slots? Yeah. You talk about the best in the U.S. You don't know what's coming out of Europe. You know, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is pretty much already slotted. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a lot. You look around, you turn on the TV, oh, damn, he's at my position. He did X, Y, and Z. Well, I got to go make sure. You know what I mean? You got to make sure you don't get caught up in it. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. You see draft boards drop. Everybody like, don't look, don't look. If they tell you they're not looking, they're lying. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot that goes on with this whole process, and sometimes it's not even accurate. If you haven't, I mean, every year we see somebody get drafted, you're like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see anything at all. I don't know what the hell they saw. You know? This whole process is, it's entertainment. And now I look at the NBA different. I look at the NBA as like a big fantasy league for rich guys at the top. Like, if you know what I mean. They walk around with their friends, they're like how people do on their phones with like DraftKings and stuff, like fantasy leagues. That's how they get the NBA now. Like, there's somebody at the top, he'll go walk around, look, he sends people out, and the ones he think that help build his team next year, he's gonna draft them and pay them a salary. Now ours is make believe and theirs is real, if you know what I mean. But this whole experience has been pretty crazy so far.
You sound like you've been on this show before. You echo a lot of the same sentiments that we say on this show. And you know, you talk about like your energy. And I know Albert and I have both seen you in person. Albert's seen you out in Cali a couple of times. I saw you when you played at the Garden. And I mean, honestly, man, like, you know, you could go to those games and, you know, like you said, you could look at those draft boards and see some of those guys on the other side and even some of the guys on your team, but you pop, man, you pop with the energy that you bring. It's, you know, there are a lot of guys who can kind of blend into a game. But when you're watching, even if you're not dropping 20 points, you could feel the impact that you bring with what you do on the court. So I know, Albert, you know, you wrote, you know, an entire piece on Jalen and echoed a lot of that. So
I think my dad read something y'all wrote, like the Ed Reed thing, and he loved it. I think it's cool that it's appreciated, because like I said, for me to drop 20 every night and the way that school I go to and system around, I'm behind two All-Americans at the end of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Jaime Hawkins is one of the best scorers. And I know as a team, we've been shooting the ball like ridiculously poor. I think we've been shooting like 30% a game. Like, it's crazy. And we're still in dogfights. Like, we shoot 29% at U of A and we lose by 4. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like we're going through a ridiculous little time right now, not me personally and also my teammates. But if you come to our practice and watch, we have people that really score the ball at real high. Like, I'm pretty sure y'all are all familiar with Jaime Hawkins.
Yeah,
we love Jaime's game.
Yeah, when Tiger gets going, he gets going.
Singleton.
Dave Singleton is probably the best shooter I've ever played with in my life. I mean, I don't watch a lot of other college teams. I watch ours in the pack, but you may tell me where he ranks with others. But I think he's one of the premier shooters in the country, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got Adem Bona, who's coming out of his shell and transforming into what he's become. And then now we got Amari Bailey back, who's a high-level guard, if you know what I mean. So realistically, if you look at a lot of our games, no one's dropping 20 every night. It's more like 15, 16, 14, 10, if you know what I mean.
Sacrifice to do what you got to do to win.
Right.
It precisely. Because I think none of this matters if UCLA goes 6-27. The stuff I'm doing, I mean, I'm not a draft expert. I'm really new to all this, but I feel like winning does make probably carry some portion into a lot of this. And if I'm trying to do what I do, what I want to do, we got to go win, go pretty far.
Yeah.
And that can help solidify.
You know, Jalen, I think the piece that I wrote about you where I compared you to Ed Reed, I think is exactly what you're describing. For me, I mean, Ed Reed, defender, safety, right? He was a guy who he was somebody where even if he wasn't doing something precisely on the play in terms of like on the ball, he was always affecting the play just by him being on the field, right? Yeah. And I think that's the point that I was trying to make with you, where when I saw you in person, I've seen you a couple times in person. I don't know if you've noticed some tall Asian guy just taking footage of you guys on, during warm-ups.
Nah, I'm not gonna lie. We have so many people at the beginning of every game.
Yeah, but you know, I've seen you guys warm up. I've seen you guys in the game, and like my biggest thing with me, something that you said in the beginning, right? That you're an intense player. Something that I realized is if you're gonna play for Coach Cronin, you got to be intense. His energy on the court, the way that he's. I think one of the funniest things I saw was there's like one possession where you guys actually got to stop on defense. This was against Long Beach State, right? You guys got like a great stop. You guys played perfect defense. And then Long Beach State, they get pissed. They call timeout. And I remember, like, for me, if I was a coach, I'd be like clapping you guys up, all excited. Coach Cronin was like in your face, like screaming at you. And I was like, you know what? This is why Jalen Clark is so intense. This is why the whole team, you guys are so intense.
Yeah,
but
nah, I'm not going to. You gotta be a certain type of guy to
that's
compete
right.
with us. If you
that's right.
Meaning. If I sit here and tell you it's easy, it's not. he know what he's doing though, but he's a very I bet old school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you don't like people getting in your face and talking to you, you can't come here. You know what I mean? But
if
you do make it through here, there's light at the end of the tunnel too.
That's right.
I mean? There's a lot to be had on the other side. And like despite all his yelling and stuff, we win.
The
past 3 years and before he came with Alfred, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a method to his madness. But even if on the outside, if you think stuff looking good on the inside, it could still be you effed up X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So. And Jay, I think that intensity that he has and holds you guys to, and the intensity that you guys are playing with, as you mentioned, right? It's showing on the court, and your development this season has been unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning of the season, as you mentioned, you were on that hot streak where you were scoring a ton of game. And as you mentioned, right, a lot of the points that you were getting, you're getting off of the other team's mistakes, right? Off you guys creating those mistakes and taking advantage of that. And I think one of the main questions that I had for you was, and this is something that I think even Corey and I, as we've been breaking down different players, we've been talking so much about the idea of growth and development, right? And how every player's growth, every player's development looks and feels so different, right? And so something that I was thinking about with you, right? Watching you throughout the season, literally going to your game, seeing you play in person, I was wondering, you mentioned to yourself, right? You never really scored this much until this season, and you're trying new things and you've developed different areas of your game. What were some of the things that you focused on last offseason that's leading to this big jump from you heading into this season?
Really just working on shooting the ball. I have like a little funky form. Before this year, I've never worked on shooting the ball. Because like you remember in high school, I was top 100 kid, whatever. And when you're in high school, I mean, there's like, if you had a good high school, I was fortunate. My high school, all five starters were Division I. But like, we're playing against teams that kids are about to go work a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean, next year.
Yeah. So I'm a high school coach, so I believe me, I know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's just some teams, like, there's no way, no matter what we do, we can lose to them. If just, like, off physical attributes and stuff like that. So in high school, I just got downhill whenever I wanted. I shot hella floaters whenever I wanted. Like anything, whenever I wanted, if you know what I mean. Even when we played Sierra K and gave Sierra with Zaire, BJ Boston, all of them.
Yeah.
Gave them 30 without shooting any jumpers. Mm. If you know what I mean. I was running around giving everybody 20-30 on bad nights, if you know what I mean. So then you get to college and my freshman year I don't really play. So in my head, it's like in that transition from playing every night to not playing is like that will mess with you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That would mess with you a lot. So I had to deal with that whole thing. in sophomore year, I'm there, but I'm still playing, but not in like big moments. I'm gonna play in the beginning. I know I'm a sub in the beginning, and then that may be it. So then this season, I was just kind of like, I'm tired of not playing, maybe playing, not playing. So I'm gonna just go work on this jump shot. I'm not like, ain't no jump shot coaches or whatever where I'm at. So I'm like, if I learn how to just shoot this mug how I'm shooting it right now, because if I can learn how to just repeat this, and if I can shoot at least above 34, 35, I'll at least have people respect me enough to where I could just go around them, if you know what I mean, and get to my spots. And that's been like the little frustrating wall I've hit, because like I'm still getting to my spots, but I ain't converting at the rate I was. But part of me feels like that's just part of this whole process, because I feel like it got to be ups and downs. And
that's right.
If everything's always a high, I mean, shoot, life would be great. If right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking realistically, if I was running around shooting 64% or whatever I was before this little stretch, 64% on the field, 41% from three. If I was still doing all that, you're talking like lottery case, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. at that rate. So, right. Like I said, I'm happy all this, how the waves is going, because I feel like builds you as a person through adversity.
That's right.
There's always a chance to grow and stuff. So that's the part I'm really excited about. And that's why I'm excited to go play Thursday against Washington State. Like this whole experience is fun. At the end of the day, it's just basketball. But to answer your question, I really just worked on that jump shot to get people to get close enough to guard me. And then after people are guarding me, I know I have enough to even the same 1-2 moves I use. Shoot, I don't know if people don't scout, but it still gets me to the same spots that I'm trying to get to on the floor already.
let's take a look at, like, because on this show, you know, we break down skills.
Yeah.
Let's kind of take a look at some of the clips of that shot, because, you know, I know you said it, there's ups and downs, but I think the biggest thing is there's a confidence there now.
Yeah.
You know, with your shot, right? So... let's get into this one. I mean, that's just a confident catch and rip. That's, you know, like replay it. We're getting the ball up the court. You're calling for it. You want it.
Yeah.
Right. And with your athleticism, there's probably an opportunity where maybe, you know, in the past you would have taken that space here. Right. Yeah. And tried to get to the rim, but this is an element of your game now that you have, that, like you said, is really opened up a lot of the rest of your game.
Yeah.
And I
go ahead.
Yeah, and I think even here, like, this is a miss in that Arizona game. But again, to me, it is the confidence. You're shooting this off the dribble, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of shooters, they have maybe the catch and shoot stuff in their bag, but you're at a point now where you're even letting it fly off the bounce. So
I hit these in practice. If I didn't shoot them in practice, I wouldn't be shooting them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously it's a lot easier to shoot them in practice by yourself than it is when the lights turn on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Especially with the way I'm playing, because I'm running around chasing people off down screens. Like, I blow up plays by myself, and then I rebound the hell out the ball.
Yes.
And then when you guard in bigs, you don't understand how hard it is to guard bigs to get down there, because they bumping and beating up with each other every play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you got to go sit down and shoot, if you know what I mean. So that's why I feel like my biggest development, like my biggest jump, would be when I first learned how to shoot with my lower body. Mm-hmm. And when I stop tilting my head, because my shoulders are tight. So when I get up here to keep it lined, I kind of go like this a little to keep it lined up. But I feel like once I get that, my jump will be astronomical.
That's right.
I mean the percentages, even, you know, with you cooling off a little bit, are still improved over last year. And you know, shooting is
too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, like you said, like, it's easy to hit those shots in practice, right, when the lights aren't on. But if you're not taking them when the lights are on, you're not going to be able to improve it, right? Like, it's because I mean we've seen guys in shoot arounds. I've coached kids forever, and you know, in practice is one thing, but it's like, all right, can you hit that with a defender running out at you when you've been going up and down the court for 15 minutes straight, you know, and you have to play defense and you're tired. So like you said, the reps that you're getting and the confidence in which you're shooting, I think it's been a really impressive jump this year. And you know, at the NBA level, you know, obviously you're not, I mean, you have a loaded squad. You went through all the guys that you played with and you've played with, you know, pros in the last couple of years as well, but you might be playing next to a Luka or a LeBron, and you're going to have even more space that they're creating for you that you're going to have to knock down those shots. So I think the confidence that you've shown this year as a shooter is almost as important as the percentages, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because before I just wouldn't shoot them.
I would
pop out and I just watch it and be like, oh, okay. And just keep on moving around, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah. That like you said, and that's how I've always been thinking, because if I'm like playing NBA GM, if I have a Luka or a Steph or somebody, I know they're not going to be guarding the best player on the floor, nor do I want them chasing around somebody doing the most, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
that's why I feel like I had a good shot at getting drafted this year, because like, I mean, I watched some games back with my dad. There's times I just blow up stuff.
Yes.
Them off a down screen, and I'll shoot through that bug and be right there with them. I dribble handoffs around me, people really stopped, or they do it way out at the half court line. Because if you dribble handoff around me anywhere near like the actual offense, I'm running right through and trying to break it up, if you know what I mean. So, and I think that's been the biggest adjustment too. People stop kind of running stuff at me, or when they do more to make sure the pass is completely there. Oh, yeah, I remember this game. I would have had 30 this game if I didn't get hurt at halftime.
God.
I mean, I think this is a good example of what you're saying, like, you know, blowing up DHOs. And then, like, the active hands that you show as well. Like, you're not giving up on the play. I mean, you do a great job. You switch, you get over the screen, and then, I mean.
That's your man, yeah.
And see, it's funny because people, like, I don't know why everybody I play against, they don't move. So, like, when I get into, like, ball hawk mode, I really can't see them. I'm reading the guy's eyes, if you know what I mean. That's why I said something about your turn. So, like, I remember against Long Beach State at the beginning of the year, I was guarding Jadon Jones, and he went back door. I knew he was gone. I was like, I'm fucked. So I just ran up and just double-teamed, bro. He just threw it to me, if you know what I mean.
Or
like,
yeah.
So, like, I've realized in college basketball, kids don't really cut like that. Now, I know in the NBA, if they don't cut, they ain't getting paid. They get rid of you if someone's staring at the ball and you go. But I mean, it's put me in opportunities, and like I said, I read people's eyes really well, and I can tell. I feel like I wait for people to get, you can tell when someone's about to pass the ball before I go out there and really jump.
It's funny though, like even in that clip that we just watched and the one that Corey's shown, like even for us, we're not on the floor, but we could see your eyes. We could see that you're reading the play, that your head is on a swivel, and I feel like. Now, once again, just to go back to like what I said about like the whole Ed Reed thing, that's the type of processing that you have, right? The awareness. The funny thing that you keep mentioning, you're like, I don't know if guys are not watching tape. Clearly, you're watching tape, right? You're watching tape. You're watching the stuff that these teams are running, and you're able to read it. Like you just mentioned that Long Beach State. I was there for that game, and I remember watching you. And like, I think the play that you were talking about was on the left side, and like you just completely blew that play up, and the anticipation, the reading, like it felt like it straight up looked like you were watching what they're doing, like, oh cool, I got this, like, you know that famous clip between like Cam Newton, he's like playing and
defender
comes and like, hey, they're gonna do this, he's like, oh, you've been watching tape, right, watch this, right? That's what it feels like with you a lot of times on defense, where it's like, yeah, like, oh, I see what you guys are doing and I'm gonna read it, which is why your steal numbers are through the roof right now, dude. Right now you're averaging,
we have walkthroughs. We have walkthroughs every day before like a game or whatever, and we'll go over like 10 to 15. So, and then we have the names of them. So when I hear them, because in walkthrough, I only guard, like normally it's the other team's best player. If it's a guard heavy team or if it's a big heavy team, you know, then I'm just, it's whoever. But normally I just lock onto one guy. And then like, if I know, so in the game when I hear it, I know it's a down screen. I guess they don't know I know, but I know we run into this spot after he goes sets that down screen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So if you don't get into me, bump me, or nothing like that. But then also, I feel like if people, like, if you run this playback, I know the game was over at the end, but if he ball fakes right here when he comes back.
Yeah, you're in.
It throws a skip to Austin Reeves, who's a way better three-point shooter than Sevier Willer, if you know what I mean. Then it looks like I'm undisciplined. You know what I, so that's why.
But you read him the whole time.
Yeah. I knew he was going there, and I knew he didn't want to shoot it again because he bounced right back to him. He didn't want to shoot it again. Mm-hmm. He didn't give off body language like he wanted to.
Hey, not everyone is down to shoot it after a miss like you are, right?
Oh, that shot was crazy.
Game winner, right? Game winner type of stuff. Let's go.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, even through this, like, cool down period, I guess, I've still had some. I mean, I look at it, it's been fun. Like, overall, like, I don't really care what happens after this. Like, as long as I look back into it, I enjoyed the whole experience, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. Even when I ain't had my best game, we still win. Everybody else happy, so it's like, why the hell am I gonna be down? You know what I mean? So I'm gonna be happy as well. So that USC game, I remember I was like 2-1 for 6 from three before I pulled that. If you mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, F it. It came back. I got to shoot it, and then it goes in. Then you see your face on TV and stuff. the whole experience is hard to. Yeah. Even simulate or get anyone else to really feel unless you really lived it. Like, it's crazy.
But hey, Jalen, really quickly, I did want to say, even on that game winner on USC, like, after you missed that first shot, if you watch the tape, you're calling for the ball again. Like, you want it again, which is exactly what Corey was talking about before. The confidence you have now where you're like, cool, end of the game, right? Game winning situation. I missed a shot. Give it to me again. I'm taking that. That's the type of confidence that you have now, which is dope.
I've learned. I'll never get Jalen hands. He's I'd rather lose the game on my hands than somebody else's, if you know what I mean. So it's not a selfish mentality, but hey, if I got a chance to launch it, trust me, I'm gonna launch it. If I don't care if I'm 0-for-12, you know what I mean, if I'm open and it's game time, I'm shooting it.
I want to go back to that Kentucky game for a second because I pulled a clip and I was there, and I want to get your opinion on this real quick.
Is that the Oscar one?
No call.
Oh, yeah.
Do you say anything to the ref after this?
Yeah, I was trying to take it. I mean, sometimes, I mean, those are always tough calls because I feel like at least at this situation, it should be offensive, defensive foul, like either way, or call a flop or something. Mm-hmm. I took it to the chest, though.
It to the chest. You beat him to the spot.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so, I mean – The only thing that sucks about doing this is once you fall, you're out of the play.
Yeah.
You're not getting back up. And then I don't ever want to look like people go through my chest or anything like that. Because if I want to wall somebody up, like in college, nobody's moving me. Like if I'm like, I ain't getting moved, nobody's really moving me. But I do try to beat people to the spot sometimes. And then it don't work out. And now it looks like he just went through his chest and he just fell. If you know what I mean. If you don't get the call.
Damn.
But, you know, I think from my perspective, at least, I can't speak for Coach Cronin, but as a coach, from a coach, like, that's like textbook defense, and you beat him to the spot. You get, like, do you guys practice stuff like that? Like, is that something that you he preaches to you?
I just be looking anyway to, like, I don't know. I move on my toes, and if I feel I beat anybody to a spot, I'm taking a charge. If anybody turns their back and can't see me, I'm going, like, auto. And this is not even like we don't teach that, but I just know if you can't see me, by the time you look up, if I'm on you, it's already bad. If you know what I mean. So if I see the back of their head, I just go. And this is freedom he's giving me. Like, I guess everybody has it. I'm the one that does it though. If you sometimes it gets me burned. Like at U of A, I remember Balo had the ball and I fired, and I tipped the ball and it went flying up, and Kirk Creasy caught it and stepped into a three. If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but if I get it, you know what I mean? It looks like a great play. But if you don't, it's a possibility you don't get burned. Exactly. So, I mean, at the rate of the steals, like regardless of how my offensive game goes, I'm going to get you 3 steals a night pretty much, if you know what I mean. If whoever I'm guarding is going to get taken out the game, like, yeah, this is a game I didn't have a good offensive night. I was all right, if you know what I mean. But
yeah. But I mean, you could see that defense here. You guys are pressuring the ball, you go and get that hustle play from behind. I mean, how important?
Right after.
How important is playing from behind defensively when somebody like yourself does have the freedom to kind of gamble and freelance a little bit? How much is that a part of your game that you trust and that the coaches trust that you guys can get to your spots and recover if need be?
It's fun. I mean, like on the team, I probably have the most freedom, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All this madness. But I don't know. And like the chaos is kind of a calm feeling too. Because when it's so chaotic, it's like, especially something like that, like he has three, his teammates ain't even all in front of him.
Yeah.
So he's still in a disadvantage situation. And then he's running full speed with somebody on the left side of him. He can only have the ball in his right hand.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And I'm going to chase him all the way down to the corner if he'll run that far. Like, I don't care. I know if I get him in a trap, we'll either, I'm either going to foul and get out and so we can go reset.
Yeah.
Take the ball. If you know what I mean, I'm smart enough not to know, just, you can't let people just fire the ball out. So either I'm going to burn a foul and be like, all right, I got to play a little conservative because I got one now. Or I'm going to get the at least a piece of it that gives me time to go ahead and get back, if not the steal.
Now, I think one of the things that is so impressive about you is, you know, usually guys like you who are, I mean, you're averaging almost three steals a game. Like you said, you have the freedom to kind of, you know, gamble in the passing lanes and whatnot. And sometimes guys like that could be a little bit overrated as defenders because you look at the steal numbers, but you also have to guard as a unit, as a team, and you have to be able to do it on the ball too.
The other night,
what's so impressive about you is that you get it done on the ball too. I mean, this is a crazy possession against Keyonte George, who is a big time scorer, and you're showing everything on the ball. I mean, you're getting hit by a screen, you get over, you recover, you beat him to the spot, and you force him into like an inefficient, you know, kind of floater.
I take it kind of personal sometimes. It's funny. me and Max Lewis, I went on a vacation with my girlfriend.
Ooh.
And I know Max. So we was working out. We was going at it like for an hour, like straight ones. It's me and Max in the gym, straight ones the whole day, right? So then I start blowing up and I'm seeing Max's name everywhere. And I see we got Pepperdine on the list. So I remember first game, Max come off. It hit me with a little move or whatever. Pulled up to the mid range.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, right here. That was a tough bucket.
You're all over him though.
And he was
all over that.
Bucket.
And we get down to the court. He's like, "Come on, Jay. You already know." So that was like, "Oh, nah, this ain't yours." So I think the next possession, he came down.
You clamped
it off his foot, and then one after that, he shot a hard one off the backboard. If
that was in the left on the left side of the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I was just taking it there, but. Nah, it's cool going up against people that can score the ball like that and be able to hold them. But then there's also like that last clip against Max can put the ball at a ridiculous rate. Like that's his gift, if you get what I mean. So that first clip to me is still like you did everything you could.
Yeah.
That's a hard shot. And the most average college players aren't making that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, but he's different, if you get what I mean. That's why he's on board where he's at, if you get what I mean. So.
But it's even still, you're forcing him a shot that's kind of like in the NBA is reserved for DeMar DeRozan and you know, guys like that. Like that's exactly the spot of the floor that you want to force that shot. Yeah. So it's one of those things. Like he makes that, you kind of like, you know, clap it up and let's get it in the next possession.
And like I said, when we was going out in Vegas, it was like that. I mean, it was an hour 15 because we played twice because he was hot. We split, but it's cool playing against kids that are gifted like that. And that's why it's funny when we have walkthroughs and stuff. In practice, I have to let a lot of passes go because if I'm really playing while we have walkthroughs and the manager's team and the ball, we never get back to where it's supposed to, you know what I mean? And it's funny when we have to simulate other players, you know, everybody goes through that.
Yeah.
It's funny because then, like I said, it just, if I don't want it to, it won't get back to where it's supposed to. I just blow it up in practice.
That, you know, that Pepperdine game, I was actually at that one too. And I remember at the beginning, Jaquez was on Lewis a little bit. And then I think he hit one. And then you were like, you know what? Let me take over. And to be honest, that was actually one of Max Lewis's worst game of the season. Right. And
Trust me, I remember anytime I play somebody that I know was up there, I'm trying to get at them anytime. If you know what I mean, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I played Keyonte, whatever. The only one that got me somewhat. Was Terrence, but a lot of his points wasn't necessarily on me.
Yeah,
but he did size me up and hit a step back. That one hurt. But that was after he had a crazy night.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to think. Other than that I've matched up with, Cason Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I won that matchup that night.
He struggled. I was there for the Kentucky game, and that was
I mean, he's also an 18-year-old. Like,
yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Walking in, I'm 21. We're an older team. I mean, we got he's hit listed already. He don't even know it. If you know what I mean, stuff like that. So But I mean, he's a hell of a player. I've watched him play too. He's a hell of a player. So I'm thinking Cason Wallace, Keyonte.
Max. Who's the toughest guy you've had to cover?
Ever in college or this year?
Well, you're also a California guy. I know you've played in the Drew. Like, have you played in any like pro runs or anything? Like,
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if that Paul, Harrison Barnes, he got really upset at me because we were playing at Rico Hines, and I stole the ball from Harrison like 2-3 times in a row, and then he gave me 8 in a row. He just came down and he gave me 8 in a row. But in college, if I'm gonna go all the time, Ben Mathurin, him and Chris Duarte, there was nothing I could do with them, if you know what I mean.
What was tough about Ben?
Ben, I mean, if you went under the screen, he'd shoot it. And if you went over, he's curling, and he got like a probably 40-inch vertical.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was a ridiculous combination of both, if you know what I mean. And then I didn't have a rim-protecting center back then. So if he turned that corner, I had to be careful with what I did.
Yeah.
Because this year, at least, Adem's going to go challenge whoever comes down there.
Yeah.
Last year, I didn't have that.
He's a crazy athlete.
He's awesome. Yeah,
a freak athlete. So last year, I didn't have that, though. So if I got burnt, that was it. And with someone like that, that would have the combination to do both and the freedom, because he was free as hell out there. Like, that made it a hard cover.
What about Duarte? Because he was awesome in that final season for Oregon.
Because he played defense, too. It's funny, they're actually there, and I'm pretty sure Chris is going to get traded because of Ben now. That's why I keep hearing him trade rumors. But Chris, he played like he was like 22, 23, however the hell old he is.
Yeah, he was an older prospect, you know, player in that season. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could shoot that thing.
He gets to the three, he gets to the mid range, he takes you all the way, he spin fade, he fade spin, he did it all. You know what I mean? And then he played defense. I don't know if he won the Pac-12 Player of the Year that year, but he deserved it. I don't know if he did. If you know what I mean, they look good. Great stuff for player of the year. This is irrelevant, but most dominant player on the floor that I played against, and I can't speak for every game, I didn't see him, but if you drafted Lotto, I assume you had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, he was nice. This year, I haven't had problems with nobody, really.
There it is.
If you know what I mean.
Let's go.
I just think you could say Terrence, but like I said, if you really watched how many he really gave me, It wasn't many directly on me, and I'm not talking about like switches and
yeah,
stop exactly. Behind the screen and we're confused because we don't know who's guarding him or stuff like that. No, so I haven't really had problems with anyone. All I just can't guard him.
You talk shit at all?
Nah, I'm really quiet when I play for the most part. If you know what I mean. I've never been on the court with anyone that really talks. If I'm beyond high school, hell yeah, that was way. Environment. In college, nobody. I ain't never been in the court with anybody that talks. Coach, people ask me, "Am I switching, or am I gonna be guarding them before the game?" But other than that, if I feel like if you even talk to me like that, I got you mentally already.
Yeah. True. Coach Cronin does all the talking for you guys anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Is there anybody you're looking forward to guarding at the next level?
Oh yeah, I got a list. I don't want to piss somebody off either. Like this is how I get out.
But you got a list.
List for sure. Harrison Barnes on the list.
Yeah, hey, Jim.
Go ahead.
No, so at the end of our pods, usually we do like a NBA comp type of thing, but wanted to ask you, who are some guys in the league that you kind of model your game off of, that you're kind of watching them and you're picking little things here and there and trying to add to your own game?
As soon as I get a consistent jumper, like, because that's the thing I'm going to work on as soon as all this is over, like where I know I can hit like 40% from three and pull up whenever I want. I think I'll be able to get like to Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown range when it's all said and done, if you know what I mean. Because right now, if you want to go straight defense, I think I can play defense like Marcus Smart, Tony Allen, and all of them already. But if they had the other side, like the other guys, now you're looking at max contract, all-star type players. That's what I'm trying to get to. I don't have a problem not working anybody. So.
And Jimmy was the 30th pick in the draft, four-year college player, like Do you, I mean, you said you like you take these matchups personally. It sounds like you have that chip on your shoulder where it's like, all right, these guys might be ahead of you on these lists, but like, it's just a list that dudes like us, make up, right? Like it don't mean nothing when you're on that court.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that list is just, then the more I've learned, especially I have friends, like, yeah, you always know, obviously know I went to school. Peyton Watson was my roommate. Like,
yes.
And no one had him anywhere on the board at all. Dalen Terry was my running mate at Compton Magic all my time here. No one had him going that high, if you know what I mean.
Like, we did.
I wrote a long piece on Dalen Terry last year, but yeah.
Wait,
we so see the vision.
At what point did you have him going in the top 20?
I want probably maybe in between the halfway, three-quarter mark. I think the thing that for us that was probably where we hesitated a little bit is when we asked around for intel, I think a lot of people thought he was going to go back to school.
You know, I was on the phone because he got put up in Sherman Oaks and UCLA is not far. So I used to be up there with him and he was really debating on going back to school.
Yeah.
I mean, the NIL, they made it seem like a good deal. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But nah, yeah. So I seen my boy DT. If you know what I mean, like I have a lot of friends that I've been around that I've seen go flying up, especially when that process starts. So like I said, that list, that is just a hit list for me. Anybody on another team that's up there, I'm trying to see if you got to show me you really that good. I don't care what old boy said that types up a report. If you know what I mean. That don't mean nothing to me.
I love it. Jalen, I know that, you got to run. So I just want to say thank you for coming on the show and, breaking down some film with us and chopping it up. So I know like you have a YouTube channel where you're kind of documenting your journey and,
get back on it.
So I don't let the audience, know where they can find you when you're not playing on ESPN and whatnot, but out on the internet.
Instagram is at Jalen, just J-A-Y-L-E-N. And then on YouTube, just Jalen Clark, J-A-Y-L-E-N, and then C-L-A-R-K. Very, very easy man to find.
It's a great Instagram handle.
Yeah, I got it like 10th grade. My friend worked for Instagram, and he's like, I could delete the old Jalen account and give you the name. I was like, oh, for real? He was like, yeah, I just need a picture of your ID. And then he sent a picture of my ID, and I woke up the next morning, and it was changed.
Wow.
Great handle.
Hey, but Jalen, did want to say appreciate you coming on. I know I've been bothering you for some time now to get you on the pod.
You're good. Yeah. I love those
stuff. No, I hope you had a good time. And hey, man, maybe we do something like this again, after the season's over, and we can keep documenting your journey and getting that out there. And, whether it was like Dalen Terry last year, someone that, Corey and I really pushed for, and then he got taken in the first round. Jalen Williams was another guy that we really pushed last year. We're a big fan of your game. We want to keep getting your name out there. So let's definitely do this again.
I appreciate it, man. This means a lot. Like I said, we could do something probably like in April because I got to take a vacation after season.
Oh, yeah.
So no doubt. We're going to do that.
For sure.
Hey, good luck the rest of the way. Good luck as you prepare for March Madness. Hope for a nice deep run so you don't get that vacation started too early. We need you to get it, get it done late. But yeah, we appreciate you here and the No Ceilings team. And until next time, we are out. Peace.
Peace.